I got a little unusual message, I think, this morning. So I will start out in the Bible. So I'll read some scripture here to you. So whatever my message is to you, if you like it or don't like it, it's at least you have to like the Bible if you believe the Bible's God's Word. Isaiah 59 and verse 12 is where I want to start reading. It says, Isaiah 59 and 12, "For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment." And it says truth is fallen in the streets. And I want to preach on when truth is no longer self-evident, is what I want to preach on. Now, why is there an Independence Day? All do remember that the day after July 3rd is July 4th. And that's the day we celebrate our independence as Americans. And many times people don't even know what that's about anymore, except maybe a day off of work and barbecue or whatever else people do on July the 4th. It may not even be that special to somebody. And you say, well, why should people understand what July 4th is anymore? Many people would rather have liberties taken away than sacrificed for them like our founding fathers did. The thought of declaring independence at the cost of something is foreign to most people who have never sacrificed for anything. I fear that these brave people who won our liberties would not even be thought of as heroes. But, you know, they might think Caitlyn Jenner is a hero. I tell you, we live in a weird world, don't we? Why celebrate a document that is constitutionally illegal to read in public classrooms? I'm going to read it here in a little bit, part of it, and you'll see why it's illegal. It's illegal. I'm going to tell you, the Declaration of Independence is unconstitutional in America. It really is. I'll tell you why here in a little bit. I know this is a weird message, isn't it? One reason, I'll give this to you before I read it. It teaches things about God. It mentions God. You're not supposed to mention God in anything government, are you? I mean, the founding fathers would have never, never mentioned God anywhere. Y'all know I'm being sarcastic, right? I mean, we've been taken over by people that really don't believe like the founding fathers did. But anyway, on July the 4th, 1776, there was signed in the city of Philadelphia one of America's historic documents, the Declaration of Independence. It marked the birth of this nation, which under God was destined for world leadership. And because of what George the Third did to America and what Great Britain did and how that they provoked the colonies by many infringements of their liberties and freedoms, you know, they eventually had to break from that power. And there's some amazing things, some eloquent things. I love, if you get to reading Patrick Henry's fiery speeches. He had to be anointed of God when he spoke. I've read some of the eyewitnesses that heard him speak, said when he got done, everybody fell silent and was afraid to utter a word because it was so powerful. I believe God must have anointed him in some way to rally people. But you can read the full document of the Declaration of Independence, and it kind of goes down and through and lists the infringements and the liberties that King George was taking away from our country, our colonies. And they felt as though they had to break from Great Britain. I know some of you say, well, I didn't come for a history lesson. But listen, these things are not being taught in public school anymore. In fact, I just read something, even in our colleges, the vast majority of our colleges will issue a history major and will give you a, what's that? A degree in history, but you don't have to take American history as though we're insignificant. You know, I read years ago, this is a long time ago, that the globalists wanted to downgrade the patriotism of Americans. There was a time in America, in public school, you had to have American history about every year. And it built up America, and the students took civics and they learned how government worked and they learned what happened in America. But after a while, the globalists took over, and you know what they wanted us to do? To become more aware of the world. And so we got world geography and world history and stuff like this, and they put down American history. I'm not against learning about the world. But since this is the country we live in and we need to raise patriots, I think we ought to learn about America. And we ought to learn why America is America. But you can get a degree in history to teach history and be a professor of history without taking American history, unless you take something like the history of American baseball or something like that. I'm telling you, we live in a weird world, folks. Amen. But the governing body of the colonies had officials meet, and the Declaration of Independence, which Thomas Jefferson wrote, were signed by 56 representatives. Now, I realize Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin were not really believers in God, but of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, two were Unitarian, which that's not really a Christian belief either. Two were deists, that's Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, if Benjamin Franklin was a deist. And one was Catholic. And the rest of the 56, were Presbyterians and Congregationalists and evangelical type belief. So you have to admit that there was some Christianity right there in the beginning of this country. I want to read some key passages that show why that this is an illegal document anymore. This is something that's unconstitutional. It says this, and I'm not reading the whole thing, but I will read some of it. I hope I don't bore you with this. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which, listen to this, the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident. And there was a time where they was self-evident, but now they're not self-evident. That all men are created equal. Boy, you can't teach that in public schools. I'm not saying there aren't teachers that don't, and there are not certain areas that do, but I'm just telling you, that is not what the higher-ups in America wanted. All men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the rights of the people to alter and to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles. What principles? That men are created. That we have a Creator. Amen. That there are laws of nature, and since there are laws, there's a lawgiver, and it's nature's God. Hallelujah. Base your government on these principles. And then it skips on after telling all the different stuff that King George has done. It says, "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled," listen to this, "appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions." And then it goes on, tells how that they're going to be independent, and then it says, "And for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence." Boy, I tell you, this is a horrible document right here. They should have known that they would have never. Why did they write it that way? They knew that this was going to be a terrible document one day when atheists took over, when people that didn't believe like them took over, it'd be a terrible document. But right then it was a wonderful document. It says, "We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Sadly, the truths that our founding fathers thought were so self-evident are not very evident today. They are still self-evident to you because you're the remnant. You're the people that really know what it is. But many who feast their brains upon Hollywood's versions of truth and the public school systems of truth, there is no truth. They ask like Pilate, "What is truth?" There is no system of right and wrong. Everybody does that which is right in their own eyes. And I'll tell you what, there's still self-evident truth to people that really believe what the Bible says. There was a fellow by the name of Joseph Mantera that said that there are four basic truths about this declaration. First of all, rights come from God. Now, wait a second. You know, if you said that in some public assemblies, you know what they would say? Rights come from government. That's not what this says. That's not what our founding document says. Rights come from God. Amen. The purpose of civil government is to secure those rights, so therefore they must hold themselves accountable to God. Amen. The power of civil government is given to them by the consent of the governed, each of whom is fully entitled to rule. In other words, amen, this founding document would be totally against the Supreme Court overthrowing the will of the Arkansas voters who said that marriage is between one man and one woman, period. Amen. They overthrew the will of the people. Just a few judges did. Amen. This document right here says the right to govern is forfeited by a tyrant to lower civil magistrates in order to restore the rule of law. And in other words, when Judge Roy Moore in Alabama refused to give same-sex marriage licenses, and Kim Davis in Kentucky refused to give same-sex licenses to homosexuals, they were right according to this document right here. Amen. I know y'all agree with me. I'm preaching to the choir in some ways. But you know what? There's some young people that don't hear stuff like this in public school. And it's good for us to understand it ourselves anyway. Because why are we even celebrating the 4th of July? It's because that there was a government set up that declared its independence from Great Britain. But the way it was set up, even in this beginning document, was to have rights that come from God. A government that's accountable to God as well as to the people. The government cannot become tyrants over the people, according to this document. And I agree with those things right there. But I also want you to notice that there are some things that we could teach people just from this document about God. First of all, God is the one that made all of nature. It appeals to the laws of nature as well as nature's God. Do you realize that the fact that there are laws in nature points to the fact that there is a lawgiver? Amen. If there is no laws in nature, if this is just a bunch of chaos, then we could understand evolution and all of this other strange stuff that people come up. Evolution is fairy tales for adults, folks. It is an absolute false farce. Amen. Back years and years ago, they used to think, amen, that life came from non-life, and they'd point to a puddle of water that had those wiggle tails and stuff, you know. And now we've got scientists, so-called, that believe that life can come from non-life. I'm just going to tell you, it is so strange. It's so weird. But since there is laws in nature, there is a God that rules through that nature. That is one thing that is taught here. Second thing is that God is the creator of all things. This world was not just some big colossal accident. Amen. You were not a big colossal accident. Amen. We were created in the image of God. Amen. Thirdly, that God is the great provider. They called upon providence. Now let me tell you, the Puritans that were in charge of New England, they relied quite a bit upon the providence of God. That meant that God governed in the affairs of men and set up certain providential things where he provided, amen, for history to take place. And so what did they do? They had a great trust in the providence of God. The fourth thing was that God was the supreme judge of the world, and that meant that everybody is going to give account one day. Listen, you could preach a message about the laws of nature and the laws of God, and the God that created you is going to bring you into judgment by just reading this document of our founding fathers and why that we are indeed a nation. Amen. John Adams said, we have this day restored the sovereign. Amen. Listen to this. Amen. We have this day on July the 4th restored the sovereign to whom alone men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising to the setting of the sun, may his kingdom come. Who was he talking about? He was talking about God. He said when we declared the independence from Great Britain, we rejected that king, but we set up the rightful king that should rule over the United States of America. I think it's about time that we set him up again and say that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords of the United States of America. Praise the name of the Lord. John Adams wrote to his wife about the 4th of July. He said it ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade and shows and games and sports and guns and bells and bonfires and illuminations from one end of the continent to the other from this time forevermore. But I want you to notice, he was not putting God out of it. Amen. The first thing that he mentioned was that when America celebrated its independence, it needed to, from that time to forever, recognize that Almighty God did this. Hallelujah. These are truths that they felt were self-evident. Amen. But I fear are not evident nowadays. Amen. Self-evident truths about man. What did they teach about man? First of all, within man was a desire to protect life. Amen. When you have a creator God and man is created in the image of God, all life is precious. Unborn life, if it's a baby human, it is precious. An old, sick person that's created in the image of God is precious. Somebody that is physically disabled or mentally disabled, that life is precious. You know why? Because we have a creator, and that should be self-evident. Amen. Secondly, within man there is a desire and a yearning for liberty. Freedom was given by the judge of the world, and therefore is enjoyed by keeping his laws. Within man is the desire to pursue happiness. The God of nature placed within man a desire to be happy. Amen. And therefore, government should be allow people in their own way to pursue happiness within the laws of God, under the authority of God. And I'll tell you right now, amen, we may all pursue it, and some will attain unto it and some may not. That's the reason they said pursue happiness, and the reason they said it is people go about it the wrong way many times. Sinners pursue happiness in the wrong way. Amen. But people that are right with God can have the joy of salvation and know what it's like to really enjoy life. There are truths that are not self-evident anymore. When we no longer acknowledge a creator, life's no longer protected. And so, in our health system that's been set up, we can have, what did they call them? Death committees, death panels, to figure out who's worthy to live and who do they want to spend the government's money on to keep alive, and who. Let me tell you something. Every life is precious when there's a creator. When you're just a blob of ooze that crawled out of the soup of ages ago and eventually became an ape and then you become a human, you're not much better than a dog. In fact, evolutionists have been asked, if your neighbor fell in the river and was drowning and your dog, your pet dog fell in, which would you say? And they all hesitated. And most of them said, I'd save my dog. You know why? Human life is not that valuable anymore. Truth is falling in the streets. Truth is not self-evident. What used to be self-evident, what used to be just something everybody should know, now people have been educated and brainwashed until they do not know that life is precious. Amen. Not only that, amen, when we no longer believe in the judge of the world, liberty is defined in new terms. Liberty does not mean freedom within the laws of God. You'll have to admit there is quite a bit of liberty when people are not stealing and killing and committing adultery and doing all the things the law of God prohibits. There is a lot of freedom and liberty within the confines of that when we have a law-abiding a society. But nowadays, what is it? Amen. There are people that want to do anything outside the laws of God and have that protected. It will be protected for the so-called rights of transgenders to use whatever bathroom, whenever they want to. Amen. Whoever's in it, but they're going to condemn a baker, amen, that will not make a cake for a homosexual wedding. That's where we've come right now. We're no longer accountable to the judge of the world. Amen. We become people that just say, well, whatever somebody wants to do, we're going to protect that liberty. And if a church or if somebody else preaches against it, we're going to close them down. That's where it's getting. Amen. Businesses, starting with businesses, folks. Starting with businesses, that's the plan of the homosexual. Start with businesses and people at work to intimidate them. And as long as they can keep on shrinking it and shrinking it, it will eventually get to the church, folks. When we do not acknowledge the God that made the world, we become perverted. Nature's God. A recent study showed that homosexuals and transgenders are very, very unhappy people. They have a greater tendency to be depressed, commit suicide, abuse drugs and alcohol. Why? Well, when truth was self-evident, we'd have said that's unnatural. It's a perversion. It's against the laws of nature. It's against the God of nature. Nowadays, you know what they'll do? If they keep on doing these studies, you know what they'll do? They'll blame it on people that call that stuff a sin. And say, if we could just remove from society everybody that thinks that's wrong, if we could just quieten their voice, if we could stop them from speaking out against it, then these people will feel better about themselves. And they'll have better self-esteem. And so therefore they'll be able to enjoy their life. That's without a supreme judge, folks. That's without nature's God. But I'm going to tell you, no matter how much they try to pass hate crimes bills and stop people from me, like me, preaching against the sin of wickedness in this world, I'm just going to tell you, they're still going to be unhappy. They're not ever going to find happiness in sin. So what do we do? Amen. I'll tell you what we do. We must depend upon God and God alone. I believe in being involved in politics, and I hope you're going to vote and find the people that best agree with you, even if they're not perfect on every subject, that have the best chance of implementing something good. That's all I can say. But I am going to tell you this. My faith is not in the White House or the Congress nor the Supreme Court. Amen. Just as these people declared their independence from Great Britain, I want you to notice that they did declare their dependence upon God. It says, with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. Did you note what they depended upon? George Washington and the army? No, as great a man as he was, amen, I'll tell you, they were not pledging and devoting themselves to him. No, they was depending upon divine providence. And the church of this day has to turn our hearts completely to God and believe that he is still interested in the United States of America. He's still interested in our community, in our families, and he's still interested in our families. Amen. And this country going on in liberty. If we don't believe and depend upon him, then we are most definitely sunk. The remnant has to rise up with a great faith in the great God God that founded this nation. We came out of nowhere. We became, amen, we're a weak, ragtag group of people that came together and fought the world's superpower and won the victory. How did we do it? They relied upon divine providence. And I know there's a whole lot against us right now. The media's against us. Hollywood's against us. And even high officials in our government are against the ideas that founded this nation. But I still believe that the God that turned things around for them back then can help us as a church to rise up with great dependence, not upon an almighty government, but upon an almighty God. Hallelujah! He is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Glory to God. I think we still need to proclaim the truth that's found in the Word of God. The 56 courageous men who signed the document understood that this was not just high-sounding rhetoric. They knew that if they succeeded, the best they could expect would be years of hardship in a struggling new nation. If they lost, it would mean the hangman's noose, because they would be traitors. Of the 56, few were long to survive. 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes sacked, looted, and occupied by the enemy or burned. 2 lost their sons in the army. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 died in the war. And many of them died in poverty even after the revolution took place. John Quincy Adams said, "Posterity, you will never know how much it has cost my generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it." Amen. Oh, I think we need to keep on proclaiming the truth. These men signed this declaration knowing that they was putting their lives and wealth upon the line. Folks, I realize, I have no idea. I'm not suffering today because I'm speaking this, but I realize we're heading down that path. If things continue in the way that they're going right now, jobs are going to suffer because of what you teach in Sunday school. And there's already been people fired from their Sunday school classes. Fired from their jobs because of what they taught in Sunday school. Amen. What they supported in a political committee. I want you to know, folks, amen, God is still interested in our country, but the devil is interested in our country as well. There has to arise some righteous patriots in this last day that's not afraid of sacrifice, that'll lay their lives upon the line and realize for our children and grandchildren and ages to come, there has to be a church that's still unafraid to preach the unadulterated Word of God, where sin is still sin. Amen. Jesus is still the only Savior. Amen. And Christ is the judge that will judge this world. Amen. We have to repent of our sins. John Adams was asked by Benjamin Rush, another signer of the Declaration of Independence. John Adams was asked if he thought that they would succeed in their struggle with Great Britain. After a moment's pause, he answered, "Yes, if we fear God and repent of our sins." I have a feeling that's why. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, If it's my people, God's people, if my people, you know, I don't know if it's going to take the president, the Congress, and the Supreme Court asking forgiveness for us to have revival. But I do know this. It's going to take the church. Yeah. It's going to take the remnant. And we're part of the remnant, folks. If we call upon God, I believe the Lord can still move upon the United States of America. And if He don't move upon our nation, He can move upon our county, our community, our families. But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Listen, if we want a healed land, it's going to have to start with us. Amen. Repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive us. Listen, I'm not responsible for the sins of America as far as the perversion and different things, the abortions that's going on and so on. I'll tell you this, I still cry out to God and say, oh God, forgive my country. Amen. For our perversions. Forgive our country, Lord, for our drunkenness and pleasure mad society. Forgive our country, Lord. Amen. For the innocent blood we have shed, oh Lord. Forgive us for turning from your truth, from the Bible. Forgive us for turning from Christ in Israel. Forgive us, O Lord, for our great sins of which you are worthy to judge us. But I thank you for your mercy, O God. I pray you'd forgive us. I pray you'd deliver us. I pray for independence from sin. Lord, I depend upon you for revival. Oh, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Because they had these truths that were self-evident, it set up many things where that America becomes a nation that gives to religion. And so what happens at Cane Ridge, Kentucky, because of liberty, in one of the worst areas of America for drunkenness and rioting and fighting and murder, in Cane Ridge, Kentucky, at the early 1800s, a Presbyterian preacher went out, started preaching, and had communion, and 10,000 people showed up, and the Holy Ghost fell, and they said it was times where people fell on their face like a cannonball had hit. In that section, they fell on their face. Why'd they fall on their face? God moved in conviction. And I'll tell you, I want to thank God for the liberties that our founding fathers allowed so that a preacher could preach at Cane Ridge, Kentucky, and they had a great revival where that 30 and 40,000 people came out, and eventually revival came in the second great American awakening. Amen, right there. Glory to God. I thank God for the great freedoms we've enjoyed where Charles Finney could go out in public air, amen, and preach, and it was documented 500,000 people turned their lives to the Lord Jesus through him. I'm grateful for a country that preserved liberty. Amen. Where Dwight L. Moody could preach and people turned to Christ. I'm thankful for the Pentecostal revival of the 20th century where scores were baptized in the Holy Ghost and the healing miracle crusades of the 1950s. I say, oh God, we live in a country that we still have this liberty. And I say, oh God, do it again. Oh God, shake this nation again. Wake the church up again. And help us to have a mighty move of God. Hallelujah. Could we all stand? Hallelujah. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to say this. If you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, there is a great deliverer, Jesus Christ. He was born in Bethlehem, lived a sinless life. The Son of God and the Son of Man hung upon an old rugged cross, took the judgment and punishment of God for every one of us. And I want to make it very plain to you. He rose from the dead so that you could go to heaven and live forever. My question is, right now, if you died, where would you go? Has sin ruled over you? Has such a bondage in your life to where it would take you in an eternity in hell forever? I want to tell you, today could be your declaration of independence. Where I trust in the living God to save my soul. I trust in what Jesus did to set me free from that old master, that old king that rules over you right now, sin. Friend, it can be a day of deliverance, a day of celebration. Jesus came to set you free. And so I want to ask you, if you're here today lost, maybe you're backslid. Maybe you at one time knew the Lord. And you say, the bondage of this sin's too great. I'm declaring independence from sin and my dependence upon God right now. I'm going to take the truths that I really know, that sin is evil and wickedness and it don't make me happy, not in the long run, but I'm going to turn to a God that promises everlasting joy and peace. Are you here this morning? You say, I want to be saved. Would you raise your hand and say, I'd like to get right with God. I'd like to confess my sins to the Lord. You're not going to confess to me. Confessing to me isn't going to help you. Confessing to the church wouldn't help you. But if you ask God's forgiveness, that'll change your life. Is there anybody here who say, I'd like to be saved? I want to be a Christian. I want to go to heaven when I die. Anybody at all? Anyone at all? God is a great Savior. He'll give you life, abundant life, liberty, freedom from sin and death and hell. It's not just the pursuit of happiness, but it's the joy of the Lord that overtakes you. Anybody here say, I'd like to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Tired of ruling my own life? Made a mess of it? I want God to take over. Anybody? You know, I feel the Holy Ghost here. I know He's touching the church, but I believe that the Lord could touch and restore someone that's away from God. You say, I just don't believe it. I'm telling you, I believe just as sure as Jesus raised from the dead, you can have a life-changing experience at this altar here this morning. Is there anybody? Just raise your hand and say, I'd like to get right with God. Anybody at all? Just a little more time for you to think about it. Say, Brother Lloyd, I'm not like those folks you preached about. You may not be. But if you turn away from Jesus Christ, there's a long eternity for everybody that turns from the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody here? Right then, I want to ask how many say, I've got a burden for my nation. I love my nation. I'm thankful for every freedom and liberty we still enjoy. Would you raise your hand and say, I want my country to experience God in a special way. I'd like for us to come around this altar. And sinner friend, you're sure welcome to join us and we'll help you pray and ask God's forgiveness and deliverance. But listen, church, you are the hope of America. You are the ones that can turn to the Lord. Let's pray and seek the Lord's face. Hallelujah.